Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm your host, Merle Exit. It's a nice, sunny, gorgeous day in New York City. Wow, we finally got one of those. Well, we had a couple of those. And I'll take advantage of it later by going out, but I'm indoors now to do the show. Well, we've got an interesting show. We're going to go to Cooperstown. Well, yes, we're going off to Cooperstown, New York, to speak to Bill Michaels, the co-owner of Fly Creek Cider Mill in Orchard. And, well, you see, Bill's going to chat with us about, like, what's in Cooperstown beside the National Baseball Hall of Fame, as well as his fabulous goodies that he sells at the mill. And while he's doing it right now, hey, my cat just went after my donut. No, you ain't getting my donut, cat. That's right, I got an apple cider donut sitting here with me and a glass of apple cider. So, we're going to start our show. And let's click on here. Okay, come on open. Hi, Bill, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
Oh, yeah, how is it? Is it gorgeous up there?
Beautiful day upstate in Cooperstown in Fly Creek.
Oh, good. Well, before we, yes, as I munch on a donut, boy, your stuff is so good.
Thank you.
we'll go into that later, but first I want to talk about, like, people think Cooperstown, you know, Baseball Hall of Fame, and that's it. So what else is there?
Well, of course, we are home to the nation's pastime with the location of the National Baseball Hall of Fame Museum, but we're much more. We also have the Fenimore Art Museum, which is a wonderful art museum that includes a Native American wing, which is one of the largest in the nation. And across the street is the Farmers Museum, which is a interpretive museum of life in the mid-1800s. And it's also home to the New York State Empire Carousel.
Well, that's all in one. Is that all in, like, one particular area?
That's right, in the general Cooperstown area. And my location, I'm at the Fly Creek Cider Mill, just 3 miles over the hill. And we're also members of the Cooperstown Beverage Trail Association, which is a group of beverage producers, including the Fly Creek Cider Mill. We have sweet cider, hard cider, and apple wine. There's Brewery Omegang, which many listeners probably are aware of because they do have nationwide distribution, and that is Belgian-style ales made right in Cooperstown. Cooperstown Brewing Company, which is an English-style brewery. Bear Pond Winery, which has fruit wines and regular grape-based wines. Rustic Ridge Winery, which is another grape winery. And also Butternuts Beer and Ale, which is another microbrewery, making they're actually canning their craft beers.
Really? Can I buy them here? Like buy them in New York City or in the store?
I believe Butternuts Beer and Ale is, and Cooperstown Brewery does have distribution in the New York City area. Us others are just distributed locally.
Well, do they? Is there? Grape vineyards? Is there vineyards up there?
A few. We're in between two great growing areas in New York. Of course, you have the Hudson Valley and then Western New York. We're kind of in the middle, and Fly Creek in the Cooperstown area was originally the largest hops-producing region of the country, making hops which then were dried, shipped on the Erie Canal down the Hudson for being to be made into beer down in New York City.
Now, just so people, in case they're not drinkers, what are hops?
Hops are the flower off of the hop plant, which gives it's a finishing product for beer that creates the aroma and the taste characteristics. Many craft breweries use different hops from around the country. A lot of hops are grown in Oregon now, but upstate New York is having a revival of hops growing, including Madison County right next door. With all the advent of the small craft breweries, they want to keep it local and use local hops.
So in other words, tourism can put out, do an ad campaign, come up to, hop to it, yeah. Cooperstown, hop to it.
Well, Cooperstown is just about three and a half to four hours from metropolitan New York. We're halfway between Syracuse, Albany, and Binghamton. If you look at the map of New York, it's right dead in the center. Cooperstown is at the starting point of actually the Susquehanna River. Without Seagull Lake, the Susquehanna River goes all the way down through Pennsylvania, and it's the main tributary to the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, I did a tour of the lake. What's the lake is?
The lake is called Otsego Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Cooperstown, way before baseball, was known for our first American novelist, which was James Fenimore Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of his stories, the Leatherstocking Tales, which includes the Pioneers and the Deerslayer and many others, the Last of the Mohegans, those were all written by James Fenimore Cooper, and a lot of that characters and the topography was based around Cooperstown and Otsego Lake. His reference in the novel to Glimmerglass is Otsego Lake, and there's many points of interest that are fictional, but they're actual places in and around Cooperstown.
Why do I remember the name Glimmerglass? Is this something? There was a festival?
The Glimmerglass Festival, formerly known as Glimmerglass Opera Company, or Glimmerglass Opera, is the home of the Glimmerglass Opera Company. And they do four performances, July and August. And this last year, I went to see The Music Man, which is very good. And then they did three other operas.
Oh, cool.
So there's a lot to do, see and do 4 hours from metropolitan New York, right in your own backyard.
That's good to hear. So tell me about your place. And
well,
let's just start with how it all began.
All right. My place is called the Fly Creek Cider Mill and Orchard. We're a water-powered cider mill on the banks of Fly Creek. We're the last of eight mills along Fly Creek. We use a turbine water wheel to run our 1889 press. We take raw, regular apples picked fresh from the tree. They're put up in through our grinder, transferred over to the press, where we make about 20,000 gallons of fresh press sweet cider on an annual basis. But, of course, we're much more than cider, as you know.
Yeah. Well, first question before we get into all the other products. What's the difference between apple juice and apple cider?
That's a great question. I get asked that a million times a season. Apple fresh cider is apples that are taken, washed, ground, and pressed. So it's fresh pressed juice. What happens when you make apple juice, you take cider. In many places, it's reduced to a concentrate, either in a powder or a liquid form, and then that concentrate is reconstituted with potable tap water at like a bottling plant. That's the most common way that apple juice is made, from an apple juice apple concentrate. But cider is fresh pressed sweet cider. So you would treat it just as you would milk. It needs to be refrigerated, has a shelf life between 10 and 14 days, and you can also freeze cider, which we ship to you frozen.
Can you refreeze cider?
You can.
Okay.
Yes, you can. Yep.
That's good. That's good to hear.
So that's, I hope that explains the difference between apple juice and sweet cider.
Now, then you have something called hard cider. So explain what that
hard
is.
Hard cider is, we take fresh pressed sweet cider, and then it's fermented with a champagne yeast, and that delivers a product that is between 5.5% and 6% alcohol by volume. It's carbonated and put in a bottle with a crown cap, so it's similar to a strong beer. The next product would be apple wine.
Yeah, that was going to be the next question.
Apple wine is fermented till about 11.5% or 12% alcohol by volume, and then it's mixed with, many of our apple wines are mixed with other fruits. We have a regular apple wine. We have an apple cherry, apple cranberry, apple strawberry. We also have an apple and black currant, and our newest wine is an apple frost, which we take when you freeze cider in the jug, and if you let it thaw without shaking it, you'll notice that the natural sugars and the good stuff in the apples kind of settles out to the bottom. We take that concentrated juice, ferment it, stop the fermentation at about 12% alcohol by volume, and then bottle it. We call that apple frost. It's our take on what you would find might be an ice wine, and so that can be served as a nice aperitif or a dessert wine.
Boy, the things you can do with apples. But sure. Now, in terms of nutrition, we're not going to go into the things with the alcohol in it, but with the apple juice and what's the story with, what was this whole thing then with apple juice and a certain amount of, what's that thing that's going to kill you?
That was in apple juice, not fresh cider.
Okay. Now, why was that in apple juice? I mean, this is probably not necessarily like a local company like yours.
This is way beyond my pay grade, but I think it might have had something to do with the residual tap water or where the concentrate was coming from.
Oh, okay.
I don't deal with apple juice. I'm just a sweet cider maker.
Oh, okay. In terms of nutrition, I mean, people are saying, you're going to have, juice, and it's, all sugar and whatever. What's the story with having apple cider?
Well, apple cider is similar to... if you eat a regular apple, that's 95 calories. And the sugars in a natural apple is a total carbohydrates of about 8%. But that's a natural sugar. That's not fructose. That's sucrose. So an apple still gets an A in a nutrition grade. So you figure that when you're drinking the apple in the form of juice, you're getting everything but the dietary fiber. So you're still getting the nutritional value. You're still getting the natural carbohydrates. You're still getting the vitamin A, calcium, iron, and the vitamin C. but you're not just getting the fiber, of course, because that's left on the skin.
Oh, okay. So it's fine then. I mean, listen. It's a lot better than drinking things like Mountain Dew. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, because it's totally natural. You're getting the natural water in the apple. You're getting the natural juice. It's like eating an apple, but you're drinking it.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it's like the best I've ever had.
Thank you.
I got home, when it got to me, I went, all right, let's try this, and let's take it. I went, oh, my God, is this delicious. I mean, it's interesting to, I wouldn't have wanted, I could tell without having apple juice next to it how good it was. I mean, it was like, oh, this is the best apple juice I've ever had.
Well, we make it all right here in Fly Creek, just 3 miles from Cooperstown. And listeners can actually purchase our juice online through our website, which is theflycreekcidermill.com. We have our online store there, and we ship it frozen, and that's shipped out priority mail by the gallon. If you're in the tri-state area, it's $10 per gallon. That's delivered. That's a price plus delivery. And you can, we have flat shipping on our online store, so you can add in some of our apple donuts or our breads or cookies.
Apple donuts. Let's get into the donuts.
Our apple cider donuts, we're known for. It's a cake donut that has apples and cider in it, and it's their cinnamon sugar, and we sell them in a half dozens, and we sell quite a few. Perfect with cider and also hot cider.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. they're pretty addicting, you know?
Well, a good thing they're legal because we can ship a lot to you.
Yeah. all right, now we got to get into, let's see, what else? Oh, okay. Then there was, I got the cookies, the molasses cookies.
Yep, that's actually my grandmother's recipe. We call them molasses crinkles. The mill, of course, as I said, was built in 1856. My parents purchased it in 1964 as a small hobby business. And my wife and I purchased it from my parents in 1999 and grew our selections of specialty foods. However, the molasses cookies have been with us forever. My grandmother, they lived in Cooperstown, and she every Friday would fill their old house up with the smell of fresh molasses crinkles, pack them and bring them over and sell them right next to our honey and maple syrup. And now we are probably baking, I would say, at least 100 dozen for the weekend. So the whole smell of fresh baked molasses cookies is wafting through Fly Creek Valley as we speak.
When you just mentioned like the things like honey, are you getting honey or are you making honey?
We purchase honey from a provider up in Herkimer County, and and he also has flavored honey and creamed honey, and that also is available through our online store. You can see all the different flavors. We have a honey creamed almond, blueberry cream, cinnamon cream, and also just a regular wildflower mix, which comes in a one-pound container.
So is this company making these things, or are they giving getting the honey and then you're creating?
No, he has his own apiary. Right up in Herkimer County and Coldbrook, north of Poland, New York, just outside the Adirondack Park.
Oh, okay. So everything pretty much like that you have comes out of New York State?
We try to keep everything as local as we can. Our apple salsa is made with 100% New York State apples. It's one of our biggest sellers. We have it in regular apple, also a hot apple, and a apple cranberry. This is a tomato-based salsa that's sweetened with apples. It's great on a hamburger or just chips and dips or with your eggs in the morning.
I put it on top of... I made a pork chop and threw it on top of the pork chop. And then I not cooked it in it, just threw it on top of the pork chop.
Right. It's a nice accompaniment or a side sauce.
Well, what's great about it is that I'm cooking the pork chop and just not putting anything, you know, no seasoning.
Right.
So the salsa... It just gives me the seasoning, so I don't have to add. I'm not like adding salt by putting salt on the pork chop first.
Right, and it's made with all those great New York State apples.
Now I have to say, like I went to try it. I looked on the ingredients and went, oh, it's just going to be too spicy. And that said, mild. But it's like it had the kick. But when I went, you know, then I went past the kick and I said, oh, this is really delicious, you know. Now, yesterday I tell you, you have the corn, sweet corn.
Sweet corn salsa is slowly overtaking It's slowly overtaking our hot salsa, our apple salsa. The sweet corn salsa is made with sweet corn. We sell it in a quart jar. It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I had that. What did I put that on? Oh, I took a piece of steak, small piece of steak, and then I just did the same thing, just no seasoning on that, and just had it with it. Just, you know. let me see what. Oh, okay. Before I now let's get in. Okay, I have to tell you something. When it comes to fudge, I am not a fudge eater. And I went, fudge. All right, I'll taste the fudge.
Oh, a fudge.
first of all, gotta know, how do you make the fudge?
Well, we make it all right here at the mill. We make over 10,000 pounds of sweet buttercream fudge here on an annual basis. We mix in a lot of different flavors. It's almost like an apothecary, all the different flavorings we have. Our key flavors are of course, chocolate walnut. We have Rocky Road, peanut butter and chocolate. But then we have some fun flavors. For summertime, we had lemon meringue with marshmallows as the meringue. We had creamsicle, which tasted just like an old-fashioned creamsicle bar.
That was in the box that got I went. Oh my God. Tastes like creamsicle.
It does, doesn't it? Without the cold.
Yeah.
And, we have amaretto, which tastes like a chocolate cherry cordial. Now we're into our fall time flavors. We have a pumpkin, which tastes just like a pumpkin pie. We have apple pie. We have Heath English toffee. All those flavors are available right on our website at flycreekcidermill.com.
Oh, so that's what I got. It was called. It was apple pie.
Apple pie. Yep, we use.
and there's apples in it.
Yep, dried. We use dried New York State apples that are. We chop them up and it's put right in it, and it tastes just like an apple pie.
Yeah, I went wow, and as I'm eating it, I'm going, there's something I'm chewing on. I'm going, I'm chewing on apples. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. Did you? Was there one coffee?
That's a that was our mocha.
Oh,
mocha latte
okay.
Coffee.
That was interesting. There's no coffee in it though, is there?
Yeah, there is. Folgers Instant. We put right in it.
You know,
it has a great flavor.
You know, it's funny because I thought to myself, somebody, you know, like tease my taste buds. Because I'm going, I don't know, it certainly tastes like coffee in here. And I just said, all right, you know, somebody's teasing me. Because what always tends to happen when someone has something that's coffee flavored, they don't use coffee flavoring. There's this, it always seems to taste like walnut.
Oh, like a chicory.
Yeah, kind of like, what do you call it? Like wet walnuts.
Well, we use real coffee. It's instant coffee.
Which is why I'm going, I don't know, either they're using real coffee or they're really fooling me because I have my taste buds. It's like when I have chocolate, when you have chocolate that's not real chocolate, I could always taste the palm oil that they put in.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you just ruined it for me. I wanted to taste chocolate. I'm tasting palm oil. So what would happen with me was something that would be coffee. I would say, I'm not tasting coffee. I'm tasting like wet walnuts kind of thing. There's something in like certain flavorings that's, you know, when they're trying, I guess when you're trying to imitate coffee, it's not
sometimes
exactly.
Sometimes it's easier just to use the real thing.
Yeah, and I kept on going, this stuff is really good. I have to commend you definitely on the fudge because it's like, I'm not a fudge eater. But this is like, Whoa, how good this stuff is. Did we miss anything as to what else was in the store that you make or that you have there?
Well, we didn't talk a little about our cheese. Cheese is a huge category
cheese.
For us.
Okay, wait, I have to tell you. Okay, then I go, oh, God, extra sharp cheddar cheese.
We've been known for cheddar cheese. Cheese was a carryover from our old family business. We had a store on an old IGA store on Main Street in Cooperstown, and my grandfather always had what he called store cheese. It was a cheddar that they had under the dome, and you'd slice it, and he'd white wrap it and put a string around it. Well, when my parents came over to the mill, he continued the tradition of having extra sharp cheddar. I grew up slicing and cutting it to order. Now we sell over 3 tons of cheddar cheese here on an annual basis. It's a New York State cheddar. This cheddar is made in northern New York along the St. Lawrence River Valley by the McAdam Cheese Company. We age it here. It comes in about 2 years old. We age it here an additional 3 years, slice it, and then sell it. I think it's one of the nicest cheddar cheeses in New York State, of course, and we make great mac and cheese. We keep it aged at a constant temperature between 48 and 50 degrees. We rotate these blocks. It's a labor of love, but the product you get out of it, I mean, a lot of people will see cheddar in the store and it's orange and wonder why the cheddar's, then they see a white cheddar. Well, that orange cheddar, that's coloring added to it. A real cheddar is white. And it's well-aged, has a great flavor profile. You should always serve the cheese at room temperature, and it melts in your mouth.
And I have to say that, okay, with me, when it comes to cheese, okay, that's not one of my least favorite. I do have least favorites. But in terms of cheddars, I'm one for a very mild cheddar.
Oh.
I went, oh, okay. I went, all right. You know, wait a minute. Those little corn nuggets?
Yeah. The Fly Creek Crunchies, we call them.
Yeah.
That's our number one selling product.
You know how great it tastes with the cheese?
Oh, I bet. Sweet and savory. All at the same
That's
time.
That's what I do. As a snack, I'm going, let's see, I need to combine the cheese with something. I don't want to put it on bread. I want to, you know, or whatever. And I said, no, I don't want cheese and apples. So of course, it would be good. I guess if you cheese and apples, you might as well have cheese with the apple cider. I wanted something where I'm eating. And I said, let's see how the combination tastes. And I went, oh, this really, really tastes good.
Well, what I like to do is I like to serve those that cheddar cheese on our ginger snaps. We have great ginger snaps, which are sweet, and then you get the savory part of the cheese. It's phenomenal.
Oh, that's cool. That's
and
great.
And, of course, we don't ship our pies, but we sell a lot of pies right here. And what we say around here, a pie without cheese is like a kiss without a squeeze, because everybody upstate has extra sharp cheddar, right, nice slice along with their pie. And that's another form of sweet and savory.
Well, I'm going to try, either I'll take a steak or a pork chop or something and melt the cheese on top of it just when it's almost done and see how that tastes.
And try that cheese also in just a grilled cheese sandwich. Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. I got to see it. Are you open year-round?
Our online store is open year-round at flycreekcidermill.com. The mill is open from April 1st until just the weekend just before Christmas. This is a busy time of the year for us. We're a local fall destination. Last weekend was our Apple Festival, and we saw about 5,000 people here. That was a fundraiser for the Rotary Club. This weekend is the Pumpkin Fest in Cooperstown, and that's a Saturday is when they have the giant pumpkin weigh-ins, and you'll see pumpkins that weigh up to 2,000 pounds. These are huge behemoths.
Wow.
And then Sunday is the Pumpkin Regatta on Otsego Lake, which they take the pumpkins, they hollow them out, make them into little boats, and they have a regatta race with the pumpkins. It's a hoot to see. If you've never seen a pumpkin race, it's a lot of fun. And then the weekend after that is our Duck Derby, and that's sponsored by the Cooperstown Lions Club. They take those little rubber ducks, and they race them right out in Fly Creek, out in front of the mill. So you buy a duck for $1, and you win a prize if it's the winner. It's a great fundraiser for the Lions Club. The week after that is what we call our Big Squeeze Weekend, and that's when we have our local hospital's mobile mammography unit here, and it's also a blood drive for the Red Cross. And the weekend after that is our Cider Fest, where we feature antique cider pressing demonstrations outside, the smaller hand-operated ones, as well as we do demonstrations inside the mill.
Cool.
A lot going on this fall in the Cooperstown area.
Okay. Well, we'll send people up there, or if I can't say up there. I'm in New York City. I keep forgetting it's an internet radio show. To some people, it's not going to be up there.
Well, we're an easy drive. We're right in the center of New York State. If you're coming to Cooperstown, we're near Howe Caverns, which is a beautiful attraction right in Schoharie County. Up in Herkimer County, we have the Erie Canal Cruises. You can take a beautiful fall ride along the Erie Canal. Over in Norwich, we have the Classic Car Museum. A lot to do right here in central New York. And, of course, you've got Matt's Brewery. You can take a brewery tour of the Saranac and Matt's Brewery right up in Utica.
Great. Well, I know I got to come back there because I saw some places while I was up there for the induction, but others were closed because of the induction.
No.
Or busy, where I couldn't go in, you know, to see them.
That's
so
a busy
time. Yeah. So I do have to make my way back up to Cooperstown. So I appreciate that you're calling in.
Okay.
And,
thank you for having me.
I certainly, to everybody, I highly recommend your products.
And Cooperstown is also serviced by Trailways right out of New York as well. Yep, they have
Yes. I'm glad you said that because I'm thinking, I know that, like, it's not serviced by Amtrak.
No.
And I'm thinking, how would one get up there if you don't have a car?
If you don't have a car, there's daily bus service on Trailways. You can take the Amtrak up to the Rensselaer Albany station and rent a car there and come over on Route 20. Of course, the easiest way is to get here is by automobile, but there's bus service twice a day.
Okay, great. Again, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For all the great info, and I'm probably going to devour some more of the stuff today. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, yes. Okay, so let's see now. You know, to have to have a commercial, of course. You know, that's
what awesome. Would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Oh, yes, and you can get these absolutely fabulous brownies at www.brownies.com. Apple cider brownies don't work. Nah, that's too much. But now before I get into a little story I have to tell you. Oh, yes, public relations firms. Some of them. Before I get into that, I want to mention something. Jim Brickman is touring right now, and he'll be here. He'll be at Westbury Music Fair, but if you go onto his website, you can see where he's touring. But in the meantime, he's gonna it's gonna do a musical like holiday celebration, and he just what he did is there's a song that just got released. I'm not sure, whether he wrote the words. I'm not sure, but I'm sure he wrote the music. But the song is sung by a gentleman by the name of, I'm assuming he's a gentleman, Luke McMaster, and the CD is out right now, and it's called Good Morning Beautiful. And if you, I guess, go on the website, Jim's website, or maybe if you go to Luke McMaster, McMaster, you can hear the single of Good Morning Beautiful. And in the meantime, what I did is I got this. Good morning, beautiful. Well, here's the song. Enjoy.
I hear the alarm go off at 6. Used to be I'd wanna call in sick. I always dreaded this time of day, but not anymore, 'cause of you. Smiling you, perfect you. Good morning, beautiful. I know it's gonna be a good morning, beautiful. When you're waking up with me, it's gonna be a good morning, beautiful. Day. Nothing could take this smile from my face. Whether sunshine or whether the rain, I can weather any weather with you. Smiling you, perfect you. Good morning, beautiful. I know it's gonna be a good morning, beautiful. When you're waking up with me, it's gonna be a good morning, beautiful. But all I need is just to see your face. Whether sunshine or whether the rain, I can weather any weather with you. Smiling you, perfect you.
Wake up, you.
I mean, it's interesting to hear the piano in this, because it's not the typical, like, sound of Jim Brickman. It kind of sounds like a I don't know if it sounds like a keyboard, but it sounds, to me it sounds more like a spinet, a piano that's just called, that they call a spinet. But anyway, so he'll be on tour. Now, got to tell you this story. All right, basically, so what happened, I get an email from PR company, and they're talking about this particular woman. Oh, okay, a woman who lives, I don't know whether she lives in an area of Queens, which is why it was probably sent to me, and or she used to live in Queens, but they kind of used that angle, like, to make it local, since I write for the Queens Times, okay? And this whole thing was about this woman has cancer, obesity, to go into the story itself isn't that important in light of what this is about. All right, so I got to pull this thing. I had to blog this because, okay. So we started off that, we'll just go, okay, Angela. Just, I don't need to, or the name of the company, doesn't matter. So this comes to me, and I said, no, I'm not interested in interviewing her, because I just wasn't really, I don't know, just didn't hit me. What was it this was about, that in doing this she was eating foods from a, I guess if you want to call it a diet company, whatever, called Bistro MD. What they do is they send you frozen foods as your meals. And so I said to her, okay, well, I can write something, but I do experientially. I said, how about if I, do a week of this to see what this is about, taste the food, and so on and so forth. So she, she said, I'll get back to you. And then she said, that's fine. They'll do a week, and then, we'll see what happens, kind of thing. All right. So then she's emailing me, and she's saying, is there anything that, dietary kind of thing. And I emailed back. I said, yes, no garlic, no cumin. Cumin, by the way, just have a slight allergy to cumin, let alone the taste. And garlic doesn't sit too well with me. Okay. And so that was just letting you know that I, already wrote this. And then we were talking about the delivery of this and what day was going to come and so on and so forth, because I'm going to be going to Provincetown very soon, and I wanted to make sure I could do this 1 week, which I think is 7 days. Okay. 1 week meal plan right before that, I leave or whatever. And we're counting out the day, I'm going to get it this day, and then, she's counting out the 7 days, just letting you know she counted them out, to say, you'll get it this day, and then you'll finish it on that day. Okay. All right. What arrives? let's see. As opposed to the what I would be getting talked about was it would be three meals plus snacks. Now, I'm not that much of a snacker, but I wanted to, I guess, taste what they, what their snacks would be like, and whether they're filling, whether, you know, that kind of a thing. So what comes in the mail, what I get is a 5-day plan, no snacks. And so I'm trying to go back and forth with this. And to add to this, guess what? It's cumin. It's garlic. Now, what is this thing with regarding Angela is that every time I would write something like back to her, she would like, you know, not, she wouldn't address the situation, you know. Okay, and I also want to explain, besides, also, there was, even though they offered seafood, there was no seafood. And twice, I mean, out of the five days, on two of the days, there were two meals with chicken. Now, really, I mean, if you were doing your own cooking, if you were eating it, whatever kind of thing, you wouldn't necessarily have two meals with chicken, unless, you know, you have all this leftover chicken and you don't know what to do with it, kind of thing. All right. So as we're going back and forth, first she's, when I said something about the cumin and garlic, now she's saying, you never told me. And I had to go through two prior emails to show that I told her. And then she said, oh, if you had told me, I definitely would have told them. And then what happened is that she said, oh, I didn't read that email. Because I had written something, and she just saw a particular answer to something, skipped over whatever I wanted. So we're going through this thing, and it's this constant thing where she wasn't accepting responsibility for any of the things that were happening. She was doing her, what I call the PR voice kind of thing. You know what I mean? I apologize. Thank you for your feedback. And then she wanted to see if we could try this again. Yes, sure, right. Because she didn't want to hurt the client or, you know, whatever. The client, she always calls. She never says Bistro MD. All right, so now the meals themselves, they're packaged so that you can put them in the microwave. And there's nothing on these packages that give an alternate way of cooking. I had to call up and say, you know, what do I do if I don't have a microwave? Which I don't own a microwave. I don't want to have a microwave. I got my New Wave oven. I got my precision induction cooktop, you know. But then even more so, I started to think, let me finish with this and then I'll, all right. So as I said, then she's questioned like, oh, but they have a 5-day plan and a 7-day plan, you know, as if to say that it was okay to have gotten the 5-day plan. And I had to, you know, go back and say, yeah, but you're the one who counted it out. It's like she forgot everything that would have made her take responsibility for all of this. I mean, so, the, I mean, you know, so I mean, I don't know, is the public relations company responsible? I mean, or the client that hindered this whole thing? Okay. Now, I'm not going to say the food was bad. I mean, the food, the meals themselves were okay. Some of them I couldn't, you know, eat. And because of the cumin or the garlic. And the problem is that I'm not having the snacks. And so what's happening is I'm trying to figure out what to eat. I called the dietitian there, and they she was saying like you should have protein. And I'm thinking, oh wait a second, this whole thing should have been about that I'm getting this, and I don't have to go to the store to buy anything because that's what they're pushing. You don't have to add to it, like with I think it was like Nutrisystem or that one where, you know, you got to go out and get salads or stuff like that. Okay. So now I'm thinking this is over with. Okay. I'm trying to call. She's calling, emailing me. Can we talk about this? I call back. She doesn't return my call. I email. Okay. So I left this alone, and now she calls, she calls because this poor woman went back into the hospital. I'm not sure whether surgery or whatever, and she's asking me to remove that person's name because she says her family or something like that, it's an upset. I don't know what she was talking about removing the name. Now, I had already said I was going to be putting an article into the Queen's Times, and the article would have been out when she called me, and this is a hard copy newspaper. You can't do anything once it's out. So, and it just happened there wasn't enough room in the paper, and that got, you know, that was the article that got pulled. Okay. So, I mean, it looks bad for me. I mean, it looks bad for Bistro MD, I guess, you know, like the woman was relying on the nutrition and the dietitian was out, and now she's back in the hospital, you know, for surgery, for cancer, I guess. Okay, but here's my other question, and this is not on the part of either of them. Someone who's a cancer victim or survivor, or, you know, why would they want to eat three meals a day that's made in a microwave oven? I mean, I can't look into a whole thing on whether it's something's not good for you. I don't think it's good for you. Have, but somehow someone having cancer, you know, but I mean, I do wish Julie McClone, I do wish her a speedy recovery. This is nothing, you know, it's not her fault or anything. As a matter of fact, it was Dr. Phil who told her to go on his diet. Good old Dr. Phil. Anyway, so I just wanted to let you know this because what's amazing, that's what I say, of the whole point, is these people from some PR companies, and they just like, really flub it up or don't know how to do their own job. correctly. I don't know if the owner of the PR firm knows what happened, what's going on, or whether the client. I mean, she says, of course, she sent out the information, all this information to the client. Yeah, okay. I mean, she, you know, smokescreened my email, so heavens knows whether she smokescreened it. Anyway, so I certainly can't give my recommendation for Bistro MD. That's but okay. Let's get to something. I'll be off to Provincetown, Massachusetts. And I'm going to be going via JetBlue, and then I'm taking Cape Air. Now, it's, in other words, I'm doing one of those, you know, the hop, you know, the little plane kind of thing. Always, I don't know. That makes me nervous. It's just, you know, it's changed since then. But I remember the first time I was taking Cape Air, that you got in the plane and you had to, like, it's like you were walking up a hill in the plane to get to your seat, kind of thing. But it's not that bad now. But I think, I'm not sure if they still do it when you. And I don't think they do that anymore. I hope that they ask you, we get on the plane and they try to figure out how much you weigh, or ask you how much you weigh, so they know where to seat you to balance it out. I don't think it's that tiny a plane anymore. But anyway, so I don't have a commercial for Cape Air, but I do have one for JetBlue.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra legroom.
Uh-huh. We have extra legroom as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. That is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear Traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going. the weather's going to be gorgeous up there. And I'll be checking out the Tennessee Williams Festival on the weekend. So I'm going to end my show earlier than planned. I'm not sure I'm going to. I might do a show while I'm in P-Town. I have to see what I can set up, and if not, I'll do it, you know, when I return. So until next time, have a happy day. Oh. Wait a minute, you're coming in the room. All right, I'll interpret that. Esther said, "You're not going without me." And Eunice then came and said, "And you have to take me as well." So, yes, Esther and Eunice, my wonderful rubber chickens, will be touring Provincetown, and I'll blog whoever they meet and see and whatever. All right, so, again, Till next time, have a great day, evening, and enjoy whatever it is that you're doing.